Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Good morning. Andrea Bernstein in for Brian Lehrer on WNYC and WNYC.org. Republican House Speaker John Boehner says he's ready to hold a vote on a bill to extend the payroll tax deduction, but that it would also approve a pipeline to transmit Canadian oil to Texas. President Barack Obama has already said he'd veto a bill with that provision in it. And yesterday on the Brian Lehrer Show, Senator Kirsten Gillibrand said she'd vote against that bill. Joining us to discuss that and other unfinished legislative business in New Jersey is Congressman Scott Garrett, a Republican from the 5th District. Welcome back to the Brian Lehrer Show.
Hey, good morning. Good to be with you.
So, Congressman, let's get right to it. What's the point of voting on a bill that the president has said he's going to veto?
Okay, so I guess if the president would always do everything, carry through in every veto promise that a president makes, I'm not just talking about this president, but any president, then Congress wouldn't do that. But I think the history is, again, not just of this president, but other presidents, that the president will say, I'm going to veto that if Congress does it. Congress does it, goes to the House, the Senate, they make some changes and what have you, and it ends up on the president's desk. And lo and behold, that president doesn't veto it after all, because it's there, it's legislation that addresses X percent of what that president wanted anyway, and so he signs it. So that's sometimes just the rhetoric that you get, bottom line, you get the rhetoric that you get out of a White House during the course of the process of passing a bill.
So you feel that such a bill really has a real chance?
Yeah. Okay.
You sure?
Yeah, well, I mean, I know what can happen in the House. I mean, I don't even put the question mark so much with the White House. The question mark usually, is, from my perspective, is the Senate. I always say, who knows what the heck the Senate's going to do with the bill once we send it over there. That's certainly been the case over the last 11 months of this year. We sent over a boatload of bills over there, and they just sort of sit there. So maybe the bigger question is not, Mark, is not the White House, but the Senate.
Well, and in fact, yesterday on our show, Senator Kirsten Gillibrand said she would vote against it. A number of Democrats have already said they would vote against it. Harry Reid has said it's not going to pass with that provision attached. What is the Keystone provision, the Keystone Pipeline provision? And I should explain that, you know, this is a pipeline that the Obama administration was sort of looked like it was tentatively going to support, but then said, hang on, after some states protested about where it was going to go, some environmentalists protested about greenhouse gas emissions. So the Obama administration said, okay, hang on, we're going to do a lengthier review. We'll get back to this issue in a couple of years. So what does approving it now have to do with the other issue on the table, which is the extension of the payroll tax holiday?
Oh, okay. Well, that's a good question. So the concern on the bill, there's a lot of concerns on the bill, but one of the concerns on the bill is what can we do in order to create jobs in the country, how to get the economy going, so on and so forth, right? So the president says, well, from his perspective, how do you create jobs? Well, by lowering or keeping the payroll tax rate at the lower level, the one-year holiday extended for another year. So the president would argue that will create more jobs because people have more money in their pockets and so on and so forth. The Republicans generally dismiss that as a job-producing proposal or program and say, if we're going to pass something that costs X number of billions of dollars, let's have something in it that actually has some empirical evidence that will produce jobs. And so the advocates of this bill would argue that the Keystone Pipeline project will produce, and I don't have the numbers in front of me, X number of jobs in construction and maintenance.
6,500 is the number on the table, although there's a question about how permanent those jobs are.
Oh, sure. And that's always the question on any jobs bill. I mean, when the president passed his stimulus plan, he said it was going to produce X number of jobs there, and a lot of people raised that same question. Well, how many permanent jobs at what cost? Of course, the cost was inflated hugely for each job, but even for the jobs that were created, how long did they last? Well, they lasted until that money was spent and then the people were laid off and the jobs were gone.
Now, let me just make sure I heard you correctly on something, because you said let's have something that is actually proven to create jobs. Does that mean that you think that not extending this payroll tax holiday would not create jobs? In other words, are you saying we should raise people's taxes because there's no evidence that not doing so would not create jobs?
Yeah, well,
I'm a little confused by that line of thinking.
Well, okay, I'll try to set it up here. So the president said a year ago or so when they first proposed, and it was some Republicans too at that time, I believe, who proposed lowering the amount of money going into Social Security Trust Fund or lowering the Social Security payroll tax by X, 2%, that this would be good for the economy and it would produce jobs. Well, we have a year later, and candidly, I have not heard any testimony at any hearing. I serve on the budget committee, and I watch the other hearings as well that I don't serve on. Any experts coming to the table and says, by doing this, I can prove that this has produced so many jobs for the economy. Yes, it allowed people to keep more of their money, which is always a good thing, but I would also argue that it also created problems for the Social Security Trust Fund as far as the IOUs that are going into it. But I've not heard anybody that has come up over the last year and said that the reason we see more people having jobs today than yesterday is because of that change.
Well, I have heard an awful lot of discussion from the leadership of your party about how raising taxes for the super wealthy would kill jobs, job-killing tax hikes. So why is this not a job-killing tax hike?
So at the end of the day, you can have proposals that would change the tax code and the tax structure that can help produce jobs, and you can have tax proposals that may not do so much producing jobs. So President Bush did the exact same, sort of the same thing when he was in office, when he said, let's give everybody more of their money. I think it was like $250 or something like that, a one-time stimulus check or something like that. And this will help people out. This will drive consumers to spend and so on and so forth. Well, the data after that was no new jobs were created. That you saw a spike in people paying off their debt. You got $250 in your pocket, and you realize, okay, I can pay off my credit card bill this month and bring that down a little bit. But the data showed that that didn't produce any new jobs when Bush did it. When President Obama did this thing, signed it into law, same thing. We didn't see any empirical data that this would produce more jobs. Other changes to the tax code can help to create jobs. For example, the capital gains rate. There's some data out there that says changing that, lowering that, will create a greater incentive for people to invest, which does produce jobs. And then finally, on your point, as far as the so-called millionaires tax, there's nothing to say that just by raising taxes on them that that's going to do anything to help the economy produce more jobs. You're just taking more money from one segment of the one segment of society and trying to pay the excessive spending that we have in Washington. So if you're aiming to try to produce jobs, then you really need to look comprehensively at the tax code and figure out what's the best way to do that.
But on the issue of the sort of taxes for the wealthy or the super wealthy, the argument against imposing them has consistently been that raising taxes for that sector of population would kill jobs. So I just...
Okay, so there is an argument. Okay, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
So part of that argument is that when you're raising it on the people making over $1 million, which to me is a lot of money, is that a number of these people fall into the category of subchapter S, which means they're business owners. They own. They're the guy who built a little factory in your town, or they could be a doctor in your town. They could be some other business. Entrepreneur in your town that's created a business, what have you, and he is a subchapter S corporation, and the money's coming straight through there and is taxed at that rate and what his level. And so the argument there is that by taxing them, you're really not just taxing that as an individual, you're actually taxing that business. And so by raising the tax, therefore, on that business, does that help create jobs or does it hurt creating jobs? No one can make any argument that helps create jobs. There is data to show that that actually discouraged jobs creation, because that business then says, well, why should I try to expand? Why should I hire somebody new? Why should I try to get into produce more profit? Because all that's doing is raising my tax rate. So that's how that argument goes with regard to businesses, which are basically what you're talking about for subchapter S individuals.
Andrea Bernstein in for Brian Lehrer. My guest is New Jersey Republican Congressman Scott Garrett from the 5th District in northern New Jersey. We're talking about the issues before the Congress, before they may need to leave for their Christmas break, which is now, I guess, at issue. We'd like to take some calls, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, if you want to weigh in on this discussion. And I'm interested to know if you consider yourself in the middle class and if you noticed last year that you had a payroll tax holiday, if you did anything with that money, and what you think you might do with it this year, or what you might do if your taxes actually were to go up. Because the end of the holiday would be approaching. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. So yesterday when I was speaking to Senator Kirsten Gillibrand, and I was talking to her about the issue of the pay for this tax hike. Now, I'm not sure you're convinced that there should be a tax hike. I just wanted to play this piece of tape about how she said to pay for these things, because she seemed to be willing to entertain the idea that it could be paid for in a way that was other than taxes for the rich. So let's listen to this clip.
Okay. You can find your way to pay for it. You just have to work hard to bring people to the table in a bipartisan basis from the beginning.
Like what?
Well, one pay for example, that we used to pass the 9/11 House bill, and it's fairly complex, but it worked. When another country, another nation, gets a procurement contract from the United States, so we ask them to build something, we ask these countries to sign our typical procurement agreement. Well, some countries won't sign it, and they still get procurement contracts. So what we did was for those countries, like Saudi Arabia, we gave them a 2% fee to pay for it. That was worth $4 billion, and that is how we paid for the 9/11 health bill. So you have to work hard to find these pay-fors, and when you find one, you don't tell everybody on a news channel, and so other people will take it. You work it out in advance, and then you work with the Republicans, say, this is going to be the pay-for, we're going to use it for this reason, and then you launch your effort.
All right, Congressman Scott Garrett, what do you think about that reasoning? Does that make sense to you?
That I shouldn't discuss this stuff on a news channel?
Not that part of it. But the idea that there might be in the coming days discussions about creative ways to pay for some of these measures.
Well, I'm all about that. That sounds great to me, because unfortunately the proposal that's on the table now, I believe by both Republicans and Democrats, say, look, we want to spend more money, whether it's on what do you call the doc fix, or on unemployment benefits, or on the Social Security tax cut over here, or other things. We want to spend this money today. But you know what? Our pay-fors are basically going to be over the next 10 years, which obviously doesn't work in anybody else's life for daily expenses. You know, you don't go and say, well, I'm going to go and buy groceries, which is what you need for today, and borrow the money over the next 10 years to do so. These are not capital expenses, unemployment, doc fix, and Social Security. It's not like your mortgage. So I'm completely with her. If she can come up with ideas of saying, this is what we can do in spending, waste, fraud, and abuse, other ideas that she may have, so on and so forth, let's cut spending today for an equal amount as you're going to spend today. And that's what you and I have to do when we go home and write our own checkbook, right?
All right, so there may be some basis for agreement. But, you know, the president has said he's not going to Hawaii. No one's going anywhere.
I'm not going to Hawaii either, so we're good.
Are you prepared to leave for winter break without voting on this and the extension of unemployment benefits?
So we would not. I mean, the reality is we would not leave town without this being resolved one way, shape, form, or another. So today is, what, Tuesday? This has to be done by Friday is the 16th, right? So this has to be done by then, and you know,
the question is what you mean by done, right? I mean, you could vote today on this bill, which includes the Keystone pipeline,
right,
and then you could leave, and then the president could veto it, and then, you know.
And that's my predictions are usually wrong on these things, but my prediction is that we vote and we don't leave, and it goes to the Senate, and they do their thing, and it comes back here, and by Friday, some resolution is done. And if in the, I'll say, the worst possible scenario, which I don't see this happening, but if for some reason they can't come to the agreement on the 12th hour on Friday, then they do what they've done in the past. They say, okay, we're just going to do a short-term fix. I really don't see that happening. I see my basic bottom line prediction is come to an agreement, maybe with some of these ideas that the good senator is just suggesting here, what have you.
All right. Well, that's what she bet, too. Not $10,000, but
no,
a cup of coffee.
I don't have $10,000 to bet.
Let's take some calls. Yeah. Scott from Florham Park. Hi, you're on the air with Republican Congressman Scott Garrett.
Hi, thank you. I think the senator and many of his colleagues have it wrong. I'm a job creator. I have a small business in New Jersey.
Okay.
We employ six people, and I'm a high-income earner who pays a high tax rate. But that doesn't make me a job creator. What makes me a job creator is creating jobs, which is to say I think I deserve or would be well served by a tax benefit when I create a job, give me a $1,000 tax credit for each new hire, give me a payroll tax exemption on my portion of payroll tax. But simply being a high earner doesn't make me a job creator. And to look at business, we don't pay people sales commissions just because they show up in a nice suit and have smiley teeth. We pay them when they sell something. So
All
give
right.
those tax incentives to employers when they actually create jobs.
All right. Congressman?
Well, that's interesting. If he's still on the call, I would ask him the question then. If Congress gave you a tax credit of $500 or $700 or whatever to hire a new employee, would that be the deciding factor that you would decide to hire a new employee? Or rather, is it do you hire new employees when you actually have an expansion of your business, that you can actually, you know, sell whatever service or product that you make? Is that what makes you to hire more people? Or if we just say you got a tax credit for 1 year of, you know, $700, is that what makes you hire somebody?
If I can answer, yes, it would be. And because
really?
There's a marginal area where there's a decision to be made, well, I could stick my neck out a little bit and hire that person in the hopes of new revenue, or I could stay put. And I think that's enough of an incentive to move people who are at that area to say, yes, I'll take that risk.
Okay.
It would be a very effective incentive.
Okay. Well, that's great. Interesting to know. Many times when I talk to employers, they say, no, we decide to hire when our business has the prospects for expanding, or that we can plan this for more than just the next 12 months, which is part of the problem with our current tax code is that the tax code is constantly vacillating or changing, and so that businesses really can't plan to hire somebody on. So then the problem then becomes when it does change like that, if Congress gives you such a business, you know, a $700 or whatever translates out to an $800 tax break for this 1 year, which is the lower of the payroll tax, what happens then the next year? Some people say, well, we should just keep this rate permanently low. Okay, then we need another 10 years on top of this 10 years that we just did to pay for that again. At some point, those 10 years begin to add up
to real money.
Yeah.
Let's see if we can take one more call here on an issue that we haven't discussed today, but Andrew from Westchester has a question about another piece of unfinished business.
Okay.
Hi, Andrew.
Hi, good morning. I know the attention in Washington has significantly focused on the tax payroll holiday. I'm a doctor. I'm in a single specialty group. We have seven doctors in our group and ultimately about 50 employees. And one of our big concerns is the upcoming Medicare cuts.
Yep.
And the sort of every year there is a push off of resolving definitively the FGR. And that's not only, it's perceived, I think, by a lot of people in the public that it's an issue of the rich doctors wanting to get their money, and it's not that at all. I think most of us really are solidly in the middle class, and it's a job creation issue. Not having an answer to the SGR year after year makes it very, very difficult for us to plan economically about hiring people and bringing new employees into our practice. And the potential of a 20%+ Medicare cut in January means that probably not only are we definitely going to be out of Medicare, which means we're not able to take care of people we'd like to take care of, but with less income coming into our practice, we're going to have to unload a lot of our employees. So this is a significant issue, which really has not been resolved because every year it's kicked down the road.
All right, let's get an answer from Congressman Scott Garrett.
Absolutely. So of all the three issues that we were talking about, this is probably the most important one that we have to deal with, and I agree with him completely, and that this fix that they're doing now is for 2 year, which is better than 1 year, but it's still not really what needs to be done on this. It needs to be permanently resolved. So I'm in complete agreement with the doctor on this. This is the one aspect I think really needed to be addressed in all of this. And it does, and he's right also on a second point. It doesn't just affect, you know, whether doctors in general. It affects the public, the consumers, the patients, because if we actually go through with this and do not raise and allow the doctors to see their salaries cut from 26%. What will happen is a lot of these doctors will say, I cannot afford to stay in business treating these people. And so people who are on Medicare will go to the doc and say, I'm here. And he'll say, I'm sorry, I can't treat you. So it's not just a doctor issue. This is a patient issue. This is probably the most important one of all the issues that we need to really grapple with it before before this Friday.
All right. Thanks so much for your call, Andrew. And Congressman, before we go in the last 30 seconds, you said you were optimistic that this would be resolved by the end of the week. What do you think that the final bill is going to look like?
Yeah. So I'm optimistic because I just came out of conference and there's sentiment in the House, at least, to move this bill through the House. It'll go over to the Senate. My guess is that you will see the doc fix done, taking care of this doctor and his patients. You'll see an extension somewhat for the unemployment and some changes in that legislation as well to make sure the system's more efficient. I think you'll see the payroll tax holiday, as you call it, will continue on. I think you'll see something akin to the Keystone still in there. There'll be some changes or tweaks to that to make it more palatable. Remember, at the end of the day, that doesn't compel it to happen. That just compels the president to make a decision one way or another now rather than after the next election. So I think you'll see most of those major elements of the final package. There may be some other sweeteners, as you know, Washington does to bring other people onto the vote, but that's how I see it coming down.
All right. Well, sweeteners and a sweet holiday season to you. Thanks so much, Congressman Scott Garrett, for joining us this morning on the Brian Lehrer Show. Andrea Bernstein in for Brian Lehrer. When we come back, we will sort out what happened in Durban in the climate change talks.